It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters. Many of you wrote about our story on Chicago Democrats who say they're disenchanted with the Democratic Party and will likely vote for President Bush in 2004.
Jeff Harlig of Bloomington, Indiana writes, "I've rarely heard a more disheartening story. Certainly the saddest tale was of the soccer mom who knew she had been manipulated to the brink of hysteria by the Bush administration, yet saw no path other than into the arms of that same administration for protection from the manufactured threats. Any self-respecting Democrat who's considering a vote for Bush in 2004 should remember this. It was a Democrat who once mobilized us with the inspiring words, 'We have nothing to fear but fear itself.' It is a Republican who has paralyzed us today by convincing us that we have nothing but fear, period."
Mary Hounsell writes from Evanston, Illinois, the same suburb as the soccer mom in that story, who was deeply frightened by a siren that went off for 20 minutes late at night. Ms. Hounsell says, "I too heard the siren. I was frightened, half awake, and alone. In the next issue of the local paper, I read a long article about how difficult it had been to turn off the short-circuited siren in a neighboring town. My conclusion from all this was to get a grip, grow up, and most importantly of all, stop playing someone else's game of terrify me. Being manipulated is a sign of immaturity, and only a fool would take even a small decision while being manipulated, especially by fear."
Noah Adams' story on Laressa Matthews, a low-wage worker who runs a home daycare center, drew this from Imad Libas of St. Paul, Minnesota. "I listened with a great deal of compassion. Laressa Matthews seems to embody determination in the face of adversity. She's willing to work long, difficult days, providing a valuable service in return for a meager $15,000 a year. However," he goes on, "my admiration turned into contempt when Noah mentioned that Laressa is taking a second job a few nights a week to help pay for her late model Ford Expedition. It's a shame to think that if she had only decided to buy a reasonable used car instead of a $30,000 behemoth, the money she saved on car payments, insurance, and gas would have paid for the health insurance that she is forced to do without. Laressa is in an unenviable position of working hard for an inadequate wage. However, she is only making her financial situation more difficult by succumbing to the siren song of consumerism."
Our visit with food writer Amanda Hesser to bake a chocolate dumpet cake prompted Rick Maloney and Dolores Berger of Towson, Maryland, to try the recipe themselves. They report, "Our resultant cake looked more in the end like it should have lived up to its name, rather than being consumed. But the taste is in the pudding, so to speak, and we found that it got our top 5-star definite make-again rating."
Michaela O'Brien of Bethel, Maine, found the description of the cake positively sinful. She writes, "I heard it while driving my son home from daycare in that hungry pre-dinner time of day. He was snacking on almonds and raisins, but all I could smell as I heard the piece, I swear to God, was warm, dark chocolate. I actually looked around my car to see if there wasn't some stash of chocolate I was smelling. Thanks for the high chocolate, low calorie oral pleasure."
And thanks to all of you for writing. You can email us at atc@npr.org. Don't forget to let us know where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.